Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
We got, honestly, one of the more boring weeks of sports. Super Bowl's over. Baseball's not starting. But, you know, we do have a little bracketology I think we should bring into the show today. Tournament's coming up quick. And honestly, this year I think it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, you got a lot of teams in the top 10 bouncing around all the time. I mean, been hearing it almost every other night. You know, a team in the top 5 gets beat. There's a bunch of new teams. So it's been a pretty interesting year of college basketball.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I mean, how about the other night, Minnesota, their first Big Ten win of the year, they knock off number 6 Maryland.
Right, and yeah, Maryland, you know what, they've been dropping recently, but I think Maryland is a team to look out for. I think Melo Trimble is that kind of guy who can take a team in the NCAA tournament and really carry him forward. I mean, and they got Rasheed Suleiman, transferred from Duke. They're sitting at 16 right now, and just a couple weeks ago, you know, they were ranked number 3. So, I mean, that just kind of tells you how much of a whirlwind it's been. I mean, let's take a look at the top 25. We get Kansas at number 1 right now. They get 5 top 25 wins, 9 in the top 50 wins. They've beaten Oklahoma twice, who is, I would think, is one of the better teams in college this year.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, Oklahoma has been up there, and Villanova's up there is one of the number ones in part of the seeding, and Iowa's up there. I mean, it's going to be as you say. I mean, Michigan State is way down there, and they're awfully good, and then Valentine is a stud. So I think that I would say probably I wouldn't drop off my chair if any team that was in the top. Probably 15. Well, I don't think Dayton can win it, but anyone in the top 15 would win it. I wouldn't be surprised. I couldn't tell you. I think it's going to depend on who gets hot at the right time. But I think, again, when we see the pairings, this will come down, as you know, as it always does, to who can defend. And that's where I always give, Michigan State always a big edge up because the guys, one thing about the Big Ten in basketball, they can defend. And certainly that would be one thing I'd be looking at there. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Michigan State, whenever their name is in the tournament, honestly, they're one of those teams that you watch out for. Because, whether they're a 1 seed, whether they're a 4 seed, whether they're, an 8 or 9, I mean, it's always scary. I mean, Tom Izzo, I think you could say over the past 15 years, is definitely one of the best coaches in college basketball, doing some great things. You got Michigan State at number 6 right now. Honestly, the teams in the top 5, I think, are pretty notorious for some early exits in the NCAA tournament. And you look at Villanova, I mean, as long as I've been doing brackets, they're always a pretty big disappointment. You look at Oklahoma, hasn't really been there in recent years, but, I mean, with Buddy Hield, the guy is probably the best player in college basketball as a senior. He's doing some great things. We look at Virginia, who I think is notorious for dropping out early. And you got Iowa, who, had they not lost to Penn State, I think would still be sitting in a number 1 seed. But I think according to CBS Sports right now, you got Kansas, Villanova, Oklahoma, and Virginia in the top 4. Iowa's loss to Penn State was atrocious. I mean, they're having a great year, and Penn State is a trash team. I was very surprised about that. We look at some other teams down the list. You got Xavier, who's very quietly having an awesome year. They're 23-3. Iowa State, I think, is always dangerous. And then you look at Duke, number 12, had a huge win at North Carolina this week, won by a point. I mean, that was an awesome game. Did you catch that at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was, and there's still a big debate of whether or not Roy Williams should have called a timeout and the whole deal. But yeah, no, that was of course, that's always a rivalry. That's one of the classic rivalries in sports.
Right. Yeah. Every year that those two teams play, I mean, it's always a show. Coach K and Roy Williams. I mean, one of the standpoints, I think, when you think about college basketball, those guys definitely come to mind. Like you said before, Dayton. Bring them up. Do they have a chance to win? Probably not. But a couple years ago, if you remember, they made that huge run in the NCAA tourney. I actually had a friend who goes to Dayton, and he was telling me about it. It was absolutely crazy. Getting to the Elite Eight as a non-major conference team, it's pretty crazy. I mean, they're 21-4. They lost to St. Joseph's last week, but I think they're a team to look out for. I mean, a lot of these teams that don't get a lot of media coverage, people, you don't really get to see them that much. And I think Dayton is one of those teams in the A-10 that is a team to look out for.
I mean, look, they're good. But, one of the problems in this tournament is it's so grueling that a team like Dayton, or if you remember Wichita State a couple of years ago, they're typically not deep enough. This is where the Dukes and the North Carolinas and the Kentuckys and those teams that are so deep that they can go 10 deep. And their 10th guy is probably as good as their second or third guy, right? And the problem with Dayton in a school like that is, could they do it? Absolutely. But in today's era, with the shot clock, it's a lot harder because, way back in the old days, there's been games. I saw a game one time at the halftime, it was 4-2. Okay. I mean, they would actually run. That was where the old four corners offense came from Dean Smith, and that was how, back in the early 80s, late 70s, DePaul was always a powerhouse, and every time they'd end up against a team that could slow the game down, they would lose, and they were a big for early exits, okay, because, again, the game changes. All sports change when you get to the playoffs, because now it's defense. And, again, could Dayton win 2-3 games? Absolutely. I would not be shocked at all. Okay, but when it comes down to it, could they win it? We saw Butler make a couple of big runs, and they're in that same caliber, but it really gets harder when you get down to the real games because, the grueling tournament, the pressure of the tournament, and the defense that these teams play, it does come into play. Don't get me wrong. It can be, there can be upsets, but one of the biggest classic upsets of all time was, Fire Slam a Jam. I mean, they had three first-round draft choices on that team. They were huge favorites against, obviously, Jimmy Valvano's North Carolina State, and they couldn't beat him. And Villanova beating Georgetown. I mean, now those things aren't as likely to happen anymore because the game is a little faster. It doesn't mean it won't. It doesn't mean somebody can't win the game. But I think at the end of the day, you got to have a deep squad. You got to be able to play defense. And I think that's where some of these guys lack because it takes so much energy to play. And when you got to bring the subs in, you can end up into a little bit of a problem. And that, I think, ends up being a bigger problem for some of these smaller schools. I mean, I'd love to see them do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, when they beat Ohio State, I was glad they'd make a run. But at the end, it makes it very hard for these smaller schools that don't have, 15, top 100, guys in their team. And it makes it tougher. But we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And make sure you check out during the week The Bubba Show. Always got some good fodder for you there as well. If you ever miss an episode of either one, you can go to libertytalk.fm. There's a little recap of the show, and it's on demand, ready for you. Join the hundreds of thousands every month that download it. Make yourself one of them. This is the Bubba. This is the Sporting Edge. This is Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
It's this last bite. You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, I just think it does come down. And like I said, I've seen small schools win. It's hard to see a school like that win six in a row, but I know you have some other thoughts, so go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just a couple other teams I'm looking at, you know, from an early perspective here at the tournament. The team that always scares me is Kentucky. I mean, I know they were unranked a couple weeks ago, and now they're sitting at 20-6 inside the top 20. I mean, and they're always a scary team. I mean, I love John Calipari. I think he's a great coach, also a great recruiter, probably the best in the nation at doing that side of the job. Kentucky's really on fire right now, and, you know, I know they're not, you know, that high in the rankings like in years past, but come tournament time, I think Kentucky is a team to watch out for.
I would never look at John Calipari. Listen, he's taken a lot of teams there, including Memphis with Derrick Rose. I would never be shocked about him. I think that he's a great coach, and he sells his program correctly, which is just simply, hey, come with me or go to the NBA, and I can certainly live with that. That's all part of it, and you know, we've got just a lot. It's going to be a great conference tournaments, and it's going to be up in the grabs, and the seedings are going to be, and I guarantee there's going to be three or four schools that should have been in that won't be in, as happens all the time, but it's right around the corner as we get here. And you know, as we look, you know, on to some other things, what do you think about the NBA competitions? I thought that the slam dunk was really awesome. I thought it was nice to see Zach LaVine repeat.
Yeah, that was great. I actually didn't catch the live version, but they came out with like a mixtape, like a 2-minute video of all the dunks, and it was quite the show. I mean, Zach LaVine, the guy is unreal. Just jumping out of the gym, it kind of makes me wish I could. He just touched the rim at least, but you know, he was great. Andre Drummond, he kind of flopped a little bit. I think that was more to be expected. I mean, you never really see a guy that big winning. You know, Dwight Howard had a pretty good performance a few years ago, but kind of expected that. But, you know, Zach LaVine was unreal. Gordon was also great. I mean, those are two young guys. I mean, I could see Zach LaVine winning this thing for the next 10 years if they'll let him. But a lot of great dunks, a lot of cool things that, you know, you see new things every year. And that's the thing about it. I mean, the dunk contest, you think you've seen everything, and then they just do something just a step up, a touch better, and it's great. Three-point contest was very cool. It was awesome to see Steph and Clay in the finals. Clay won. It's a little surprising to me that Steph didn't pull that out, but, you know, that was awesome. The game itself wasn't that great. You know, an all-time scoring show put on by the West. But, you know, overall, All-Star Weekend was pretty good. Excited to get back into it, though.
Now, there's a theory, you know, back, again, I go back to the old days, but, you know, before, you know, all these guys, you know, we're making billions of dollars, and there was actually some real notoriety in the slam dunk contest. You know, Michael Jordan and those guys, it was great. But somebody said this, I want to get your opinion. The reason a guy like Zach LaVine can win now is, A, the big guys don't come play. But the other thing is these guys, because they're not really full-time players, they're not superstars, they've got time to work on all these crazy dunks all the time. And they're being more, you know, it's more artistic. It's like doing a magic trick versus, you know, actually playing basketball. I mean, it's great, but they have so much more time, which is why the second tier guys or the third tier guys are the ones that always win this, because they've got so much time to practice these dunks, because you'd never make a dunk like that in the game.
Right. Yeah. You know, I can definitely see some truth to that. I mean, I honestly would like to see more superstars in the dunk contest, because I think, you know, you think of watching professional sports, you know, who do you want to watch? You want to watch the best guys, you know, play the game. And even though it's not a real game, I'd still like to see more guys. Like, I'd love to see LeBron James in the dunk contest. I know he doesn't want to do it. But guys like that, I mean, you know, nothing wrong. I think Zach LaVine did some crazy dunks, but I think it's cool. You know, you get some of the top guys, and you see, you know, they're great in the game form, but I want to see, you know, what they can do outside of the game form. And I know that they're really good, but I just want to see it in another form. So I can definitely see that, you know, that being true, that some lower-tier guys definitely get some more time to work on it. But, you know, when I think of All-Star Weekend, you know, I want to see some All-Stars do some awesome things. And, you know, those second-tier guys do some cool stuff. But I kind of want to see, you know, the top guys try to do it like they did back in the old days.
Yeah, I mean, but the deal is, you know, the wear and tear on these athletes, and it takes a lot of work. I mean, a lot of guys, you know, don't even want to be there. So now the question comes up, should the slam dunk be the featured, or should the three-point shooting contest be the featured event?
I think the slam dunk should be featured. I mean, I love the three-point contest, but I think the slam dunk contest kind of catches your eye a little more. I think it's a little more interesting just seeing, you know, just things that you never really see. Like you said, you know, they don't do these dunks in games, and you never get to see them, you know, do these things. I mean, they don't videotape them doing this in practice at all. So I think the slam dunk is a little cooler. I'd like to see that be the feature. But also, I mean, the three-point, it works well because it kind of shows, you know, different sides of the game. And then the skills competition also. So I like the slam dunk contest a little better.
Now, were you surprised that, you know, we had all this big trade talk, you know, Dwight Howard, Bubba, all these guys are going everywhere. And, I mean, there was a bunch of trades, but there was no trade of note. Were you surprised that there was no real trades?
I was really surprised. I mean, this is one of the most quiet NBA deadlines I can remember in recent history. I mean, last year was pretty crazy, but, you know, really nothing happened. And I think you find a lot of losers in this trade deadline. My main one is the Bulls. I mean, you know, they watched the deadline pass, keeping Paul Gasol, who they probably are going to give a lot more money to, you know, if they decide to sign him at age 35 next year. So, I mean, I thought they were going to make a move. They're sitting, you know, 2 games over .500. I thought they were going to be a pretty decent contender in the East. They really have done nothing, and I thought that they were definitely going to get something done. I mean, I thought Dwight Howard was going to go. I heard something interesting that, you know, James Harden and Dwight Howard were both trying to get each other traded last year after the first-round playoff exit, and I honestly think they should have gotten rid of Howard. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of James Harden, but the guy can ball. And I think you have a better chance of winning a championship with a guy like him and a guy like Dwight Howard. Because, you know, we've seen Dwight Howard's career, talked about it many times in the show. He's always kind of been like a, you know, a cancerous material on the team. You know, he's always leaving, always bitching about something. So I thought they should have made a move. You know, the Clippers, they dealt Lance Stephenson and got Jeff Green. It's an upgrade, but I think they needed to do a little bit more. You know, Blake Griffin's sideline right now. And, you know, I think they've been winning games without him, but I think the Clippers are that team that's on, you know, right on the outside of contention, and I thought they should have done something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, excuse me. I mean, the Bulls suck, and I said that before. The whole organization is just not what it used to be. You know, listen, let's put it this way. Jerry Reinsdorf got lucky once. He won the lottery. He got Michael Jordan instead of Sam Bowie. Okay. And that's the end of the day. And without Michael Jordan, the Bulls probably would have never won a championship, because the bottom line is they're cheap. They don't want to pay. And they have nothing but problems. And, again, it even goes down to their coaching. I mean, look at the coaches they brought in. Other than, you know, Phil Jackson. And when they brought Phil Jackson, he wasn't the star he is today. Okay? So they're always trying to make it on the cheap. I mean, look at their baseball team. You know, and not even against Robin Ventura or Ozzie Guillen, but the bottom line is they're just always on the cheap. So it's hard to win when you're always on the cheap with your guys. What do you think?
Right. I mean, yeah. You know, I've heard this story many a time. Sox, Bulls. I mean, they never really do anything, you know, drastic. And I think sometimes that's what you need. I mean, like, they kind of remind me of the Mets in baseball. The Mets, I think, have been notorious for operating on such a tight budget. And, you know, that's why I'm glad to see them re-sign Cespedes, because they have a real shot now with that pitching staff. But one team that I really thought made a great move at the deadline was the Washington Wizards. You know, it's a big gamble, but they needed a stretch four, bring a little attitude to the team, and I think Marquise Morris is that guy that they needed. You know, we saw him get in a little spat with a teammate on the bench a couple weeks ago, but I think this Wizards team is drastically underperforming, and I think Morris, you know, could possibly bring them into, you know, a late-round playoff contention. I mean, I think the Wizards are a team to look out for. I mean, John Wall, Bradley Beal, one of the best backcourt combos in the league, and I think this is a pretty decent deadline for them. I mean, Morris isn't a superstar, but I think it significantly helps them in the chase for the playoffs.
I agree, and of course, John Wall, one of the most durable, best point guards in the league. They didn't get the same notoriety as everybody else, but every night he's putting them up, so it's great to see. This is the Sporting Edge with Bob and Xander. Make sure if you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm on demand. You can get an episode anytime you want, as well as the Bubba Show. We will be back after the break. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step out of here, and we'll be right back. Make sure you check out thesportingedge.net, and we'll see you after the break. The Sporting Edge. Be right back.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba and Xander. So Xander, 25 years ago or 30 years ago, Peyton Manning did something in college. And then in 2003, there was a lawsuit fired, and now it's 2016 and they're bringing it up again. I understand it was a bad thing, and I don't know any of the details other than what I've read. But I mean, really now, I mean, what is this all about? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's just upsetting to me. I mean, I've always looked up to Peyton Manning. I think he's a very class act guy, probably more class act, you know, on a television screen from what I've seen than he is in real life. But I do think he's a pretty good guy. And this whole story, I mean, I hope it's not true. And I don't think it is. Peyton Manning does not seem like this type of guy to me. It happened a long time ago. Honestly, seems like a little bit of a smear campaign. I mean, coming out at this particular time after Peyton Manning, you know, is riding off into the sunset, just won his second Super Bowl. I mean, it just seems like very odd timing that this would be the way to go about something like this that happened, you know, an absurdly long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, again, even part of it was true. I mean, I don't know, you know, at 17, 18 years old, he didn't rape her. But again, I'm not going to get into the rights and the wrongs. I just found it to be... I found it to be, you know, funny how it's, you know, 13 years later and it's still coming out. I just, some of those things kind of bother me when I see it. And then, of course, you know, have you seen the controversy with the Von Miller that should have been a penalty? He swiped at the ball versus a scoop and score. And he's saying, no, you tried to scoop and score. Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't see any of that.
You know, they're saying that was actually a penalty. And it shouldn't allow it because he batted the ball forward. I mean, it was, you know.
I understand. Trying to advance the ball without actually taking it. I got you.
No, but I mean, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. What? I guess I have nothing else to write about. So we have to find things to write about. But I think that the game is losing a pretty class act. And Jared Allen, he's going to retire now. In fact, he did a YouTube and rode off on his horse after he announced his retirement. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Jared Allen. It was very funny. So I'm riding off into the sunset, except there is no sunset. I thought that was awesome. Jared Allen, you know, I think the guy's got a decent shot to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he had a great career. He was just always known as just a tenacious defensive end that, you know, never gave up. And, you know, he was one of the best for a long time. Kind of funny, you know, of course, our Bears let him go. And he's playing in the Super Bowl the next year. We let go of Brandon Marshall. He has his best career year, but... You know, let's not talk about the Bears anymore. They're a huge disappointment. But, yeah, Jared Allen, you know, every team he played for, I really picture him as a Viking. You know, he was there for most of his career. But, yeah, he was a great defensive end. Fun to watch. Sad to see him go, but, you know, glad he went out to second place. But, you know, getting to a Super Bowl, I mean, it's some things that some players never do. So that was very cool to see that.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then, you know, so the NBA is, you know, still the same. I mean, Golden State's going to set the record. I think they're winning 72 or 73 games. It just, again, the whole foundation of the league now is different than it was. You don't get everybody's best effort every night. And I just think I got news for you. I think San Antonio is going to win close to 70 games. So,
that's the interesting thing. I mean, we're all talking about Golden State, but meanwhile, San Antonio's having, one of the better years that anybody's ever seen. But yeah, like you said, I don't think the league, I don't want to say it's not as competitive in today's day and age, but it just doesn't have that same, that same flavor. I mean, I was pretty young, but back in the 90s, it seemed like every night was a dogfight. And I think that's what makes, the Bulls going 72-10 a little bit more impressive, because it was more of a smash mouth game, I think, back then. And now it's more of a finesse game, which is fine, but it's just not as intense.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, Charles Barkley has his points and his views, and he's partially right, but that's the game. You can only play the game that you're playing now. You can't worry about the game that was. This is the game that they're playing now, and again, you're going to see now in the final stretch, a lot of guys will be sitting out, a lot of guys won't be getting playing time, and basically the guys will be playing now are the guys that are looking for contracts for next year, so I think that becomes something. But again, that's very, very traditional now, and of course our man Pop started that, and it's just what it is now. They just had they invited the guys to the combine for football, and they left off Keenan Reynolds from Navy. What did you think of that?
I thought Keenan Reynolds had a shot. I mean, he obviously put up some of the best numbers. He had the most rushing touchdowns, most touchdowns in the history of college football. I was a little disappointed to see him left off that list. I mean, I think he was a pretty good athlete and probably could find himself a position, an H-back type of role, maybe slot receiver. I thought he should have been put on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, 250 guys. I mean, are there really 250 guys that are better than him? I mean, there might be.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know.
I mean, look at what what's the kid from Michigan that plays at Jacksonville, the quarterback, Denard Robinson. Look at what he did. He went to a running back. That's what Reynolds was going to do. I mean, he's fairly prototypical for running backs. I didn't understand why he was left off that list. I thought that if somebody wanted to get me. I mean, I'll tell you that. I bet you he does make a team somewhere. They'll get him somewhere on the team, maybe special teams or whatever, and maybe he'll get his way into a lineup. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll find his place somewhere. I mean, just because you don't get invited to the combine, I mean, the guy's not going to stop working. I mean, he's going to get a shot somewhere. I mean, things pop up, team needs something, and maybe he works his way into a role. And it'd be pretty cool if Bill Belichick gave him a shot, because I think he's been notorious for, signing free agents that people really don't think much of, and then end up being pretty good. So I would love to see the Patriots go after him.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. And then, now, we're getting pitchers and catchers are starting to report. And, some pretty good teams out there. I mean, our Cubbies are still looked at as the number one. I don't know why, but I have one question for you. Is this finally the year that Fernandez and Giancarlo Stanton stay healthy for an entire year?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, Stanton just signed the biggest contract at the time in MLB history and missed a lot of time. I don't know. I mean, I think he's pretty durable, but I can't say for certain. I mean, things pop up all the time. I mean, the guy's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's an unbelievable talent. But, if you're not on the field for half the time, it doesn't really matter. So I don't know if this is the year. But I thought we'd take a look back and look at some of the best off-season deals, in the MLB as pitchers and catchers report. Number one, I've got Mets re-signing Yoenis Cespedes to a 3-year, $75 million contract. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's a really funky deal the way they did it, and he's got an opt out after the first year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the guy's got to be a cancer because nobody wanted him, and he's been on five teams in 5 years. So, I mean, talent wise, I don't know. Pure out and out talent. Every tool in the game. I don't know if there's any better than him. Okay, but obviously his attitude or his work ethic is not there because for some reason nobody wants him. What do you think?
Well, I do think that's odd how he keeps switching teams, but I just have to look back at last year and see what that Mets team was able to do. He was such a big part of it. I mean, I know the game is pitching and defense, but, I mean, having that guy, a thumper in the middle of the lineup who can, go yard at any given time, I think it's really important, especially with this pitching staff, this Mets team has a real shot, I think, to win it all. You know, them, the Cubs, the Royals. And there's a few teams in that cream of the crop tier in the MLB, and I think this Mets team is one of them. So I thought it was a good deal. But let's look at number two. I was a big fan of this. I mean, being a Cubs fan, the Cubs signing John Lackey to a two-year, $32 million contract. I mean, the guy was unbelievable last year. I think he had the best year of his career. He was ranked eighth in WAR, ninth in innings, 10th in ERA, and 10th in ERA plus among all pitchers in the major leagues, not even the National League. So it's a two-year contract, $16 million a year. You know, there was eight starters that signed deals worth $70 million or more. We had David Price, we had Zach Greinke, Johnny Cueto, Jordan Zimmermann, Samardzija, Leek, Wei-Yin Chen, and Ian Kennedy. I think I would rank Lackey probably third or fourth on that list. So I think the Cubs got a huge bargain here. I know Lackey's 37, but, I mean, the guy had the best year of his career last year. So how can you tell me he's not going to come back and do well again this year?
Oh, no, I agree. I think the Cubs did great by getting him. I mean, A, they took him away from the Cardinals, and B, they added him into their rotation. And he, listen, and when he was a rookie, he pitched in the World Series. He pitched the biggest game in the World Series when he was a rookie. So I can't.
Was it like 40 years ago?
Well, it was pretty close. I mean, you know, when Anaheim won it, he was on the mound. They needed him. They needed a big star from him. And guess what? They got it from him. And you know what? He brings a great presence. He brings a winning presence. I mean, the guy has always been a winner wherever he's been. So, you know, you can't sometimes, you know, the athletes, there isn't that much difference between a great athlete and a good athlete. I mean, they're pretty close. And a lot of times the attitude, as you know, from being an athlete, can get you over the top and you can beat equal or better competition because of attitude and because of desire and because of those things. So, and I think he brings a great presence to the overall clubhouse of the Chicago Cubbies. This is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to step out here for a break. If you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm on demand. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, so, you know, really exciting, and I like the Lackey signing for the Cubs. I think the Cubs are going to be great, and, you know, I hope they don't disappoint, but I do think that John Madden is by far in the top. Joe Madden is one of the top managers of all time. I just think he's just showing it everywhere he goes. He just sees it win. What do you think?
Right, I think what he does best is he seems like a great personality, the kind of guy that you want to show up and play for. Because, you know, we brought this up many times on the show. You know, pro sports are a little bit different. I mean, it's a business. You know, you got guys with a lot of big egos. You know, egos that are jumping out of the room. You need to somehow hone that in so that they're happy, everybody's happy, and people are winning. I think Joe Madden does a great job with that. And it was really evident when he was in Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay, you know, they haven't spent a dime, you know, in their whole history of being a baseball team, and he was able to get them to the World Series. I thought that was awesome. But, you know, let's move on. Go to the number three move, I think, in the offseason was the Padres trading Craig Kimball to the Red Sox for four prospects. Kind of funny that, you know, we're talking about the Padres in rebuilding mode now, because if you remember last offseason, they had a bunch of huge signings, Upton, a couple other guys, and they did squat with it. So they're back in the rebuilding mode, and I think this was a great step towards that. I mean, Craig Kimball is one of the best closers in the major league, and he's very young. I think this is a perfect move for both teams. I mean, the Red Sox are going after it. They signed David Price. They got Craig Kimball. I can't say his damn name. You know, they've got a lot of pieces on that team, and I think this is a great move for the Padres because they're not winning next year. They're probably not winning the year after that. It's going to take a few years, so them getting a couple of big prospects, I thought, was great for them. I'd love to see the Padres actually play well in a season. I think as long as I've been a baseball fan, the Padres have been one of the worst teams in the league.
They haven't been any good since they beat the Cubs in the playoffs. And when Rick Sutcliffe won, when the Cubs got Rick Sutcliffe and he won 16-1 in his 17 starts with the Cubs. But, you know, as you look now, what do you think Manfred is going to do with these domestic abuse cases? You know, are they going to try to set a precedent for all the other sports now? You got three guys that got big problems: Chapman, Puig, and Reyes. What do you think they're going to do? You have any thoughts, sir?
You know what? I'm not sure, but I think it does have to set a precedent. I mean, we saw how poorly Roger Goodell and the NFL handled the start of those domestic abuse cases with the Ray Rice case. I mean, that was dragged out. It was a PR nightmare. I thought it was handled so poorly. I mean, it kind of reminded me, I hate to bring up the stock market, but it kind of reminded me of the Fed, you know, raising rates. It was just, you know, a move to show that they were trying to do something, but they really had no backing of it. Roger Goodell did something. The people didn't like it, so he changed what he did. I thought it was awful. I think Rob Manfred, really early in his tenure here as the MLB commissioner, I think he needs to set a strong precedent for what guys, you know, for what the punishments are going to be. I mean, he got three cases. This is a perfect time for him to put his foot down. Whatever it might be, I don't know, suspension, you know, salary cuts, whatever it is, I think he needs to, you know, stick to his guns and make a strong case here, because you're dealing with three of them. I mean, this is going to reflect poorly on the MLB if he's not able to come to a distinct decision about what he's going to do.
You know, I think he's going to stick it to him. I think that, you know what, he's got a chance to do something that no other commissioner has done, and I think he's going to be really hard on it, and I think he's going to set the precedent for, you know, for baseball and say we're not going to tolerate it. And I agree. I don't think they should tolerate it. I think it's a very bad precedent. And you know what? Athletes should not be immune to punishment. In fact, they should have more punishment because they are public and they are in the face, and they need to have better self control. I think one of my big problems in the world today is the way a lot of these guys act, like we owe them something, and they treat people like dirt. And again, you know, spousal abuse or domestic abuse should never be tolerated under any circumstances anywhere, but especially if you're in the limelight. It's the same as the idiots that are getting high or doing drugs. I mean, how about, you know, Mejia? I mean, here the guy three times, he couldn't stay clean for three times in a year. I mean, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, you're in the public. You've got a chance to have life-changing, family-changing, generational-changing money, and you can't do anything right? I mean, look, if you need to go get help, go get help. You know, one thing about sports, they'll help you. If you go and say, hey, I got a problem, I'm a mean guy, and I'm beating on my wife, I need help, they'll help you. They'll send you somewhere and try to get you help. And I don't get the fact that these guys can't sell you out the drugs and the other stuff, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like so illogical to me, but of course I'm not them. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you know, some guys just have a problem, and you know, no matter how much money you put in their face and how much, you know, how good it's going for them, I mean, some guys just can't help themselves. And I think, you know, part of the thing about sports today is, you know, I think every year, you know, these guys are becoming more and more celebrity-like. I mean, 30 years ago, there was no Twitter, there was no, you know, no Facebook, every game wasn't on TV, there was no packages. I mean, and now, basically, these guys, every move is being watched, and that gives them all the more reason to be careful, because, you know, we see these guys, everything they do. They walk out of a restaurant, there's cameras, there's photos, there's pictures, everything. So, I mean, you know, these guys have all the incentive in the world to, you know, to stay clean, because, you know, their lives are basically almost broadcast to us. But, you know, some guys just can't do it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, look, it's the same thing I told you when you were growing up. I said, look, you know, everything you do is being watched. It's on Facebook, it's somewhere. And you know what? You got to be careful, because even if you're not guilty, you're still guilty. You know, that's really unfortunate. And I think that's part of the problems with technology. But at the end of the day, you got to live in the world you are, and you know, we got to continue, you know, to move on. And you know, one thing we didn't talk about, and I'm curious to get your opinion, Josh Gordon. Cleveland kept him, and he may be eligible to come back this year. What do you think?
I mean, we all saw what he did a couple years ago. I mean, the guy was an absolute monster. Had the best stats in the NFL and only played 12 games. I mean, with this big of a break, I'm really hoping that he got his head straight, because the guy can definitely play. There's no doubt about that. Will he play, though? I don't know. I mean, it's definitely going to take some time to get back into game speed, but that's what we said a couple years ago when he was coming off suspension, and he was awesome. So, I mean, the guy has all the talent in the world to do some great things, and let's see if he can do it. I hope he does. I hope for his sake, the NFL's sake. I mean, the guy is an unbelievable talent. I mean, I thought he kind of reminded me a little bit of Odell Beckham, just the young guy taking the league by storm. Had some problems, but you know, I mean, an unbelievable talent. I really hope the Browns can get a quarterback they can throw to him. He used to be Johnny Manziel, not anymore. But I think he's a great talent, and I hope he has a good year.
Yeah, so who is going to be the first quarterback selected in the NFL draft?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. There isn't any really great ones this year. I think the guy from California, I think his name is Jared Goff. That's correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
Okay, I think he did himself some favors in that bowl game. I thought he looked really good. Also, Carson Wentz from North Dakota State, you know, a 1AA program. There's been a lot of talk about him, you know, getting picked high in the draft. So I look at those two guys. You know, other than that, they're, you know, I think it's kind of a crapshoot. Who are you looking at?
You know, I think it really depends on needs. I mean, it depends on, you know, who falls where in the draft. I mean, we know Cleveland's going to take a quarterback if they can, unless they can find somebody. It'll be interesting. I'm really curious to see where the kid from the running back from Alabama is going to go.
Derrick Henry. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, he seems like the real deal. I mean, Alabama running backs haven't had the greatest success in the NFL, but I mean, the guy is an absolute monster.
He's a beast. I mean, he towers over me. But the other thing is last year, although it's still a quarterback-driven league, last year was kind of like the year of the running back because there was some great running performances to watch. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. A lot of exciting things coming up. We'll be starting the conference tournaments, and we've got, we're in the end of in the dead season of basketball, but the pitchers and catchers report, the NCAA tournament will be here soon. We'll be back in baseball. And before you know it, we'll be back in real sports action. And this has been The Sporting Edge with Bub and Xander. Always a pleasure to bring you the show. We'll see you back here next weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy. We'll see you next weekend right back here on The Sporting Edge with Bub and Xander. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Like dolphins.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.